The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 25, text number 1, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on November 12th, 2015, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Indra.
Tada,
Atmana,
Atmana.
Pujam,
Vijaya,
Vijaya. Vihatam, Nripa, Gopebhya, Krishna,
Krishna.
Natebhya, Nanda,
Nanda.
Adibhya,
Chukopa,
Ha. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Indrastadatmana Pujam, Vijaya Vihitam Nripa, Gopebhya Krishnanathebhyo, Nandadibhyaschukopaha. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Indrastadatmana Pujam, Vijaya Vihitam Nripa, Gopebhya Krishna Natebhyo, Nanadibhyaschukopaha. Translation in purport. By the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, when Indra understood that his sacrifice had been put aside, he became furious with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men who were accepting Krishna as their Lord." Purport. At the very beginning of this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami reveals the foolishness of Indra and the absurdity of his anger. Indra was frustrated because the residents of Vrindavan accepted Sri Krishna as their Lord. But the simple fact that Sri Krishna is the Lord, not only of the residents of Vrindavan, but of all that exists, including Indra himself. Thus, Indra's petulant reaction was ridiculous. As the common saying goes, Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So, I was just thinking as Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, by this kirtan, the whole world can become lifted up. So we can also help Krishna. Krishna is actually lifting the whole world up by the Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan movement is also a Govardhan hill. It's lifting up and providing, just like Govardhan provided a shelter for all the Brijabasis from the devastating torrents of Indra. This Krishna consciousness movement is also a Govardhan hill. And it gives shelter and protection to all those who take protection from it, who take shelter from it. So by this glorious kirtan, by chanting with great enthusiasm, with great devotion, with great determination, you see, actually we're creating a Govardhan umbrella that the whole world can take shelter of. So in other words, we can uplift the global consciousness by this kirtan, by glorious, enlivened, devotional kirtan. So I was feeling really happy the way you all were chanting today, the kirtan. It was very, very uplifting. I felt very uplifted by your enthusiasm for the holy name. So, let's do a little psychoanalysis on Indra here. Is he the Supreme Being? No. Does he think he's the Supreme? Yes. Is he? So we'll have a little bit of Indra in us. We're all little tiny Indras thinking, yes, I am the Supreme. How dare you treat me like that? I am the Supreme. You see? We all have that little... Actually, we came to this material world. Even you, Sankirtan. You see? We came to this material world thinking, I am the Supreme. You see? So this I am the Supreme consciousness is keeping us caught up in karma chakra. So you got to kick it out with boot it out of your psyche. Psychological cleanup you have to do. You have to be your own psychiatrist and realize what is your own insanity and then work very diligently to kick it out. I am the Supreme. As quoted here, pride, famous saying, pride goes before the fall. So therefore one has to be humble. You know, if you want to actually relish your true nature, you're not going to do it by being a puffed up, conceited brat. Okay? You're only going to be able to relish your true nature by coming back to your actual identity. Jivara Swarupa Hai Krishna Nanicha Das. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. So someone says, well, I will serve Krishna, but I won't serve those devotees, you know. I only serve Krishna, but that doesn't work either. Krishna says, as I quoted many, many, many times, Ye me bhakti jana parta no me bhakti shtate janaha mad bhakchanam cha ye bhaktaste me bhakti tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who thinks that he is my devotee, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So you want to be a devotee of Krishna? That's not good enough. Krishna says, if your only desire is to be my devotee, then I say you're not my devotee. But if you want to be the devotee of my devotee, then all right, now you're my devotee. That's why you have to have a guru. That's why you have to have faith and serve guru. That's why you have to have faith and serve sadhus like Guru Mataji. That's why we have to have faith in the scriptures also, because they teach us this science. So when you've actually become the devotee of Krishna, then Krishna accepts, yes, now you are humble. I can see now you are humble. Therefore I have accepted you. Chanandapi sanichena tararapi sahishnuna amanena manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind. But if you have a puffed up state of mind, can you chant then? Well, you can superficially go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. But I can tell you this, you can also train a parrot to go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But when the cat catches him by the neck, will he go, Hare Krishna? There he go, caw, caw, caw. So don't be a puffed up mechanical chanter, chanting like a parrot, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. No. Actually, there was a parrot in Fiji. We went to a remote village. One time we went preaching on a very remote island. And this was a remote end of the island. It was very, very remote. Some devotees were living out there. They were grog farmers. They're growing a crop called grog. So they had no electricity. They just whenever they wanted electricity, they'd run a little generator, a gasoline generator. And they had no rainwater. No running water. They just captured rainwater in a tank. And that was it. Very remote. They had pineapples growing everywhere. It was a very, an exotic, beautiful, paradisial setting with no technology. But they had a parrot out in the backyard. And the parrot, he went, Haribo! 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 All day he just go, Haribo! Haribo! You see? You see? So don't be like the Haribo the parrot, you know. With no feeling, just mechanically going, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You see? Actually, he's just asking for some food. It's like they say, Polly want a cracker, you know. He's just asking, you go, Haribo, he's saying, feed me. But he's really saying, it's feed me, Haribo, feed me, Haribo, feed me, you see. So don't chant like that, some, you know, mechanically. But you have to learn how to chant in a humble state of mind. Thinking of yourself lower than the straw in the street. If I'm lower than the straw in the street, that means if a devotee steps on me, I'm blessed, isn't it? If you're a straw in the street and some devotee steps on you, now you're getting the dust from the devotee's feet. So actually, when you're humble, even if a devotee steps on me, oh, thank you very much. Even if a devotee steps on me, ah, oh, Lord Brahma, we heard yesterday, he took birth as that mountain so that all the devotees would step on him, you see. He wants to be stepped on by the devotees. So that's humility. When I'm very happy when the devotees step on me, you see, then that's humility, you see. So this humility is a very important thing. By developing this humble state of mind, then what is the difference in our chanting? The difference is, instead of just Krishna on the lips, mechanically, we actually experience Krishna. Instead of superficially chanting, we can genuinely vibrate Krishna's name and actually directly associate with Krishna. So please, take good lesson from Indradev and don't be puffed up. Prabhupada said, don't be puffed up. You're dealing with Krishna. See, don't be puffed up. Krishna has come in his name. He's come as the deity. He's come as the Dham. He's come in the form of his representative, the spiritual master, the sadhus. So don't take Krishna mechanically. Take Krishna as your very life and soul. Give your heart to Krishna. Give your heart to Guru. Give your heart to sadhus. Be fully absorbed in this wonderful mood of service. And you will taste your actual nature, which is Satchitananda Vigraha. You're not that asat achit nirananda nature, that covered nature. You're actually an eternal spiritual being. So don't cheat yourself any longer. It's disgusting for an eternal spiritual being to misidentify with that gross lump called blood, pus, mucus, bile, and air. It's disgusting. Don't do such a stupid thing anymore. Give up the stupidity. Come back to your original nature. Jivarasvarupa hai Krishnaranishadha. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Oh, we got a whole half hour now for questions, yeah.
My question is, even when we feel this nectar of holy name, chanting and hearing, why sometimes after this nectar, after some time, we get into contamination? And always get pride,
even if you feel this. A neophyte devotee will go through phases. He'll have time and he's really tuned in. Oh, wow, this is the nectar. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Other times it's like spaced out, you know. So that's natural for a neophyte. Like a little kid learning to walk, he's not going to master it in the first step. But gradually he will master it. So you just have to keep trying, you know. Every time you get spaced out, okay, that's enough. Now I'm going to get back on the track. So just every time you see you're getting off the track, get yourself back on the track. And gradually, let's say in the beginning, you're off the track 90% of the time. You're on the track only 10%. But then gradually you're on the track gradually you're on the track 30% and off only 70%. In this way, gradually, you reach the point called Shuddha Bhakti, where you're on the track 100%. But if you keep endeavoring every day, you will make progress. Even on your bad days, you're making progress if you stick with the 16 rounds and the four regular principles. Even on your worst days, you're advancing. So devotees, if you stick to your initiation vows, you should know that you're always making progress. Even when you're going through hell, you're making progress. Isn't it? Don't you go through hell sometimes? Yes. Yeah. Even when you're going through absolute hell, if you stick to these principles, the vows you made to your spiritual master, then your liberation is guaranteed. Just a matter of time. It's today, tomorrow, next week, you'll fully realize Krishna and you'll feel His presence with you at every minute, wherever you go, in all situations. Next question. Yes.
When we ask why we don't feel the holy name, the taste of the holy name, usually we get the answer because we are contaminated. But this answer can explain anything that you can, for any question, the answer is you are contaminated. But it's not clear to me.
It's not clear to you because you're contaminated. Now give up your contamination. Kick out the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, illusion, and envy. By taking shelter of Guru and Krishna. And everything will become crystal clear. That explanation is given repeatedly because that's the reality. That's the truth. We are contaminated. When you actually come back to your to your original position of pure devotion to Krishna, then that's your liberated position. So what can we say? You want to hear something different, that you're not contaminated? Then that's your pride. Your contamination of not wanting to hear that you're contaminated is your contamination. You see? I don't want to hear that I'm a rascal. Just tell me I'm a pure devotee. You're a rascal. When I joined Vishnu Swami, he was always calling me a rascal. And that was a great blessing. I remember one time I was driving the Jeep to some preaching program. And when I backed out the driveway, I kind of like ran over the curb a little bit, you know, instead of going out the driveway. And he said, "That is your rascal driving." So the more you can be told and reminded that you're a rascal, that is your spiritual advancement. It's a fact. The more you can understand, I'm such a rascal. Is it? That's very good. Next question. All right. When we are away from the association of devotees, it becomes difficult to chant. Well, then you should always remain in the devotees. His question. Huh? Ah. Then you should always stay with the devotees at every minute. Why leave the ever leave the devotees association?
Sometimes we can't have the association of devotees because of family problems.
Well, then you have to associate with the devotees within your heart. I'll give you an example. One of my godbrothers, his name was Shivananda Sen Prabhu. At that time, ISKCON was not... There was ISKCON in America and also in the UK, but not on mainland Europe. Nothing on mainland Europe at all. Zero. Not one devotee. Completely not Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada sent this young boy to Germany all by himself to open a temple. He had no money. He didn't know anybody in Germany. He went there, just went there as a vagabond, you know, into West Berlin. He was sleeping in some condemned building, you see? Can you imagine? To start Krishna consciousness in Germany. No place to live, no money. And somehow he has to make a... And he had no association also. So Prabhupada wrote him, he said, if you will always remember my humble teachings, you will always have my association and the association of your God brothers also. So I guarantee you, your situation with your family, it may be equally as bad as living in a condemned building in West Germany. I don't know. But if you'll always remember Prabhupada's teachings, you always remember your spiritual master's teachings, then you'll always feel how your guru is present, how Srila Prabhupada is present, and all the devotees are present with you and they're blessing you at every minute. Actually, if your meditation is strong enough, the demigods will shower flowers on you, even within your family situation. You simply have to intensify your dedication to the orders you have received from the spiritual master. Just as Shivananda Sen did, you must also do. You have your orders are very simple. You must become a pure devotee of Krishna, and you must give Krishna consciousness as much as possible to the suffering people of this world at every minute. That's your mission, to become a pure devotee, to become a Vaishnava Acharya. So you have to accept this duty, coming down from Srila Prabhupada, with complete determination and dedication. Then you'll never feel alone. As Prabhupada never felt alone, even when he was all alone in America, you will never feel alone. You'll always feel how Guru is with me, he's blessing me, Guru Maharaj is in my heart, he's blessing me and protecting me in all situations. Okay? Alright. When we have difficulty in our practice, some rough days we may fall into depressive mood. Oh, I'm no good. Full something. How to avoid them? Actually, to think you're no good is very good, actually. Yeah, I'm such a rascal. That's very good. If you're feeling, I'm no good, I have no Krishna consciousness, I have no love for Krishna. Well, you know what? Lord Chaitanya said, I have no love for Krishna. If I did have any love for Krishna, I would die immediately in the feeling, the pain of his separation. The fact that I'm maintaining body and soul together in his separation proves I have absolutely no love for Krishna. So if you feel you're nowhere, you have no love for Krishna, guess what? You have the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So keep feeling you're no good and you have no love. Come on, keep feeling that. Feel it more. The more you can feel you're no good, you have no love, you have no qualification. Prabhupada said they have designated me Bhakti Vedanta, but I have no Bhakti and I have no Vedanta. So the more you feel I know nothing about Krishna consciousness, I have no proper understanding of this process, I have no feelings of love for Krishna and Guru, the more you can feel that way, you're making spiritual progress. So kindly continue feeling you're no good. That'll be very good if you can do that. Okay, next question.
Gurudev, I understand in theory that your instruction has more potency than your physical presence. And when you visit Australia twice a year, I get your association, and again now, and I get all charged up, and I'm all charged up, and then towards the end, I'm like, I need to see you again to give me that charge again, because I'm worried that I'll not fall down, but not be as enthusiastic. And I have this fear that when you leave your body, that how do I maintain that enthusiasm? Like, how do I feel in my heart that your instruction has more potency than your presence.
Just as I have connected with Prabhupada in his absence. That's you have to see how I'm connecting with my spiritual master in his physical separation. He left in, 1977? My goodness, that's almost... What is that? Almost how many years ago? Almost 50 years ago? No. 50 years? No. 30?
Same year I was born, he passed.
77 to 2017, how many years is that? How many decades?
2015.
30, almost 4 decades. 77 to 87, that's 10. To 97, that's 20. To 2007, maybe 40 years, yeah. Huh? 40 years? Yeah. In 2017, it'll be 40 years since Prabhupada left the world. 40 years. So, how am I going on? How am I keeping my enthusiasm? That's what you have to learn. You have to study for myself and the other Prabhupada disciples who are going strong in his physical separation. You have to see that. You see. It's simply a matter of embracing the instructions you've received from your spiritual masters, your life and soul, because his instructions are more potent than his physical presence. I didn't get so much association as you're getting. I only saw Prabhupada once in San Francisco, and then in a few classes, a few days in San Francisco, a few days in L.A., and a few days in New Vrindavan, and a few days in Atlanta. And that was it, four different occasions. Four times. So it's not a matter of the quantity of association, it's a matter of the quality. How much you're taking the spiritual master's association as the ultimate benediction. So one has to beat one's mind with shoes to kick out any kind of material vision you have of the spiritual master, same as an ordinary man. Even if you seem as an ordinary man, one disciple has that difficulty, he sees me as an ordinary. I tell him, well, actually, I'm just a messenger. And if you see him, the spiritual master, as an ordinary person like you, you have to see, but he's purely delivering the message to me, coming from Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. The message is no one has given me this message like this. He's purely given to me the message of Krishna and coming from through the siblic succession. So therefore, even though he may appear ordinary, he's not ordinary. Because the message he has given me is absolutely extraordinary. So I must take this as he has taken this message and following it as his very life and soul. I must also accept this message and follow it as my very life and soul. So in this way, it's a matter of you strengthening your own faith and your own determination, your own enthusiasm, as well as your patience. It takes time to realize Krishna. It takes time to realize the spiritual master's position also, as Krishna's pure devotee. These things take time to develop. You have to be patient. You have to stick with this process, and in due course, everything will become revealed to you. Next question. Okay.
I can't finish 16 rounds from 5:30 to 7 in one time.
What did she say?
She can't finish her 16 rounds between 5:30 to 7:30. 5:30 to 7.
Yeah, then try. Here's what you do: get up a little early and chant some rounds before Mangal Arati. You get up, chant some rounds early before Mangal Arati. What time do you get up in the morning?
I want to finish it.
What time do you get up in the morning?
Every day?
In China? 2:30?
At home I can finish, but in this temple I can't finish.
You can here. At home you can. Cannot, and here you...
Can at home, but not here.
Oh. Then I would get up earlier here if I were you. I would just get up a half. How many? How much do you finish during the japa period?
I'm going to finish at 2 or 2:30.
What? How many rounds do you finish before the curtain?
Before
4, 7, 15.
7, 7. From 5:30 to 7.
How many rounds do you get done by 7 o'clock?
I can finish 10 rounds.
How many do you finish them?
10.
10. Well, then get up an hour, get up 45 minutes earlier in the morning and chant them before Mangal Arati. That's what I would do if I were you. I get up at 2:30 and chant rounds before Mangal Arati. 2:30. Get up at 2:30 or 3 o'clock. You can get, all right. You get up at 3 o'clock then. Get up at 3 o'clock and chant some rounds before Mangal Arati. Next question. You had your hand.
Yeah. So how does one develop the qualities of a brahmana?
You have to know what they are first of all. You know, you should study that verse. Shamadamata Pachatam Chantirajamame Vacha Gyanam Vigyanam Astikram Ramakamras Vabhava Jam. Shama means equanimity. It's like we say same in English, sama. It's the same, it comes from the Sanskrit word. The English word same comes from the Sanskrit word samaha. Samo, samadamata Pachatam. You see everything equally. Whether you're praised or whether you're criticized, you take it all as the mercy of Krishna. You have to learn to see everything in equanimical way. Everything equally. Whether you have $1 million or you're a pauper, $1 million in debt, you see them both as the same thing. So cultivating that equanimity in all circumstances, a philosophical perspective of equanimity, that's the first item of a Brahman. Dhamma means sense control. He doesn't overeat, he doesn't oversleep, he engages his senses in the service of Krishna. Tapa is austere, he rises early in the morning, doesn't sleep late. Shaucham, he's clean, he takes bath when he gets up early. Chama dhamma tapa shaucham, now you've already got four of the qualities. Chantir means he's very peaceful. Chantir arjamam, arjamam means he's very honest. Chantir is very tolerant, very peaceful. Arjamam is very honest. Gyanam, he studies the scriptures, he has good theoretical understanding of scriptures, and Vigyanam, he knows how to apply the scriptures also. Astikyam, he has full faith also in Krishna and Guru. So in this way, understand what the qualities are and consciously try to cultivate them, because that cultivation will enable you to take more perfect shelter of Krishna, Guru, and the holy name. So you work it from both ends. Try to increase your attachment to the name of Krishna. Increase your absorption in the name of Krishna, and then the brahminical qualities will automatically develop. Also consciously try to develop these qualities, and that will enable you to more deeply enter into the meditative mood. The brahminical qualities will situate you in the mode of goodness when the mind is completely peaceful and equipoised, you see. In this way. Next question.
Krishna is giving for us sleep as a mercy.
What mercy?
Krishna giving sleep as a mercy to us.
Giving what mercy?
Sleep as a mercy to us.
Sleep as a mercy.
Is it for that reason during the japa time, if we sleep, we get a very good sleep?
You have a good sleep during your japa? At night you don't rest well? So chant your japa at night then. You get up at midnight and chant your round, and you'll have a good sleep. Next question.
Can you, in more details, explain what does it mean to be a servant to the servant?
Servant to servant mean Lord Chaitanya's instruction. Dasa, dasa, nidasa. The more you become the servant of the servant of the servant, that's how you become closer and closer to Krishna. Even Radharani, she's in the topmost position. But when someone approaches Radharani and says, "My dear mother Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna," then Radharani will endorse, "Oh, look, my dear Krishna, just see this devotee, he's a better devotee than me." So Radharani, she is in this mood of being the servant of the servants. She wants to push for the other devotees as being more qualified to serve Krishna than she is. So if even Radharani is in this mood, you can understand that this mood is the mood of Radharani, to want to be the servant of the servants. Now that's why Lord Chaitanya is in the same mood. You see, Lord Chaitanya and Radharani have the same mood. So you want to enter the mood of Radharani and Lord Chaitanya, then you become try to become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Not directly the servant of Krishna. It's like we don't directly serve Krishna, we serve Krishna through the spiritual master. You see? In this way. Next question. Yeah.
Is it the same system applied for spiritual master? Does spiritual master is more like than we serve not him directly but serve his servants?
Is he more
more happy?
The spiritual master sees that you're serving. If you only want to serve the spiritual master directly, but you don't want to serve his servants, that's not very pleasing to him. You see? And when he sees you're willing to serve the servants, just like Guru Mataji is serving me very nicely to assist me in my preaching mission. So when I see devotees who are very happy to serve Guru Mataji, that I'm more happy to see that than someone says, "I don't want to serve Guru Mataji, I only serve Gurudev." You see, I'm not very happy with them. I see, just like Vraj Kishore, he's very eager to serve Guru and Guru Mata both. To him, it's no difference. You see? So I'm very, very pleased with Vraj Kishore Das Brahmachari. He serves Guru Mataji with great feeling and devotion. So, in this way, the more you can become the servant of the servants, that is more pleasing to the spiritual master. Okay, next question. Yeah.
Ar gali būti santykis toks su viešu, kaip abejingumas?
O kaip
paniškai? When we feel indifference to the deities,
if
what is it? Ir kam dar?
Nu, šventiem dėl vardam, gyvybėm,
indifference, when you feel indifference to the holy name and the deities, some kind of
indifference means so the indifference means not being interested, to be detached from
it. Could it be some kind of relationship with the deities?
It's impersonal contamination. If one is not very interested in the holy name and is has an indifferent attitude, like, you know, I don't really need the holy name, it's due to false pride. It's due to contamination of impersonalism also. It's like somebody comes to give you their loving association, and you say, "Go away." You say, "Go away. I don't need you." It's pride. It's simply pride. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
There is such thing like inferiority complex.
Yes.
What is the difference between humbleness and...
Yes. This question I'm asked many times. In the material world, they say it's very bad to have an inferiority complex. You should always have a superiority complex. That's the idea. Yes. So what's the difference between the inferiority complex and being humble? Well, let's talk about humility a little bit. Does humility mean you always walk around like this, you know, and kind of like always in this mood like this? Is that humble? Prabhupada was, there was no more humble than Prabhupada. But Prabhupada said, "I act like a king because nobody can defeat me." So the perfection of humility is to become a Digvijay Pandit, one who can defeat Mayavadi philosophy, hedonism, and personalism. One can defeat all material arguments all over the world. That's the perfection of humility. You see. Humility means to be like Hanuman, the humble servant of your spiritual master. So he's the humble servant of Lord Ram. So what did he do? He went to Lanka, and with his tail he set the whole kingdom of Lanka on fire. So for Vaishnavas, for Mayavadi, humble means one thing. But for a Vaishnava, humble means you become like a Hanuman or like an Arjuna, you see, to defeat all the enemies of Dharma in this world. Humility means to be completely sold out servant of your spiritual master. That's humility. Not, you know, I'm just an incompetent, I can't do anything, and I'm just no good. No. Humility means go out and conquer the world for Srila Prabhupada, your spiritual master. That's humility. So as far as humility, inferiority complex, that's a word from psychology. But we don't really buy that. The more you feel inferior, actually, that I'm a no good, lower than the straw in the street, the more you become superior to the material nature. We want to become superior to this material nature. So the more you feel lower than the straw in the street, the more you feel low, the more you become high. So our concept of inferiority complex is quite different from the material conception. A devotee becomes, they think someone who has inferiority complex, he has no confidence, he can't do anything. He goes for a job interview and nobody wants to hire him because he has no confidence in himself. That's what they call inferiority complex. Nobody wants to hire somebody with inferiority complex, you see. But our inferiority feeling that we have about ourselves, that I'm lower than the straw in the street, that's different. That feeling of humility and total dependence on Guru and Krishna empowers us to become very, very powerful changers of the world. It empowers us to be spiritual revolutionaries who can turn world history completely upside down, you see. So for us, inferiority complex means you Shaktivesh avatar, you see. Now you become empowered to save the world. The more you can feel that you're a nobody, and Krishna and Guru is everybody. So our understanding is quite different than the materialists. We have, a devotee has unlimited confidence. As Prabhupada said, "I act like a king because nobody can defeat me." We are more confident than any, we are more confident and competent than anyone in this world. because we act as agents of Krishna and Guru in all times, places, and circumstances. Our mission right now is we're trying to take over the world as soon as possible. So talk about confidence. We are confident that we can take the leadership of this entire planet and solve all the problems of every human being on this planet, even the animals and the plants. We are completely confident that we can take the leadership role on this planet, that all the presidents, prime ministers, kings, whatever, dictators, wherever they may be, they can all come to us and we will train them how to run their countries in such a way that every one of their citizens will be happy, peaceful, and prosperous. That is the confidence we have by feeling very inferior before Guru and Krishna. We want to take over the world in the next 18 days. That's our agenda. You see. So we're pretty damn confident that we can do it. People will just cooperate with us. You see. We are confident in the next 18 days we can completely transform world history if they will simply come and be willing to take lessons. If the world leaders will come and hear from me, all the world leaders will come and hear from me in the next 18 days, I can revolutionize this whole world. That's the confidence that I have. You see. This being is feeling complete nonsense before my spiritual master, acting as his agent. Any other questions? Yeah. When we are going through bad phases, it becomes difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. Well, here's the trick. Here's the insider secret. There's no such thing as a bad phase. There's just different types of good phases. That's all. You have to see everything as a good phase. For a Vaishnava, the good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly, they're all beautiful. Because it's a different type. Today I will surrender to Krishna in this way, tomorrow I'll surrender to him in that way. Every single thing that comes to you is a special blessing from Krishna to help you come closer and closer to him. The so-called bad days are actually the best days, according to Kunti Devi. She said, Krishna, give me more bad days. My dear Lord, give me more bad phases. Because when things are going good, I think I don't need you. But when things are going badly, that's when I really feel I need you. So please give me a bad phase at every minute. Kunti is praying for bad phases. So just remember Kunti Devi. Is it? And then your so-called bad phases will be the very best days of your life. Ki jai. Kick depression in the face with boot. Kick it out. When I was a karmi, before I became a devotee, I was a very depressed person. When I went to get initiated by Maharishi Mahasyogi, they had a little questionnaire. Why are you getting initiated? Is it because I'm depressed? I was very, very depressed. I didn't know the way out. I'm glad they didn't have antidepressant medicines in those days, or I would have been addicted. I was very depressed, always depressed person. But there's Krishna Ganga's movement. There's no such thing as depression in Krishna consciousness. If you're feeling depressed, you're just not Krishna conscious, that's all. Just go Hare Krishna if you feel depressed. Kick out depression with boot. Doesn't exist in Krishna consciousness. There's no such thing as depression in Krishna consciousness. It doesn't exist. It's totally non-existent. If you're feeling depressed, it means you're forgetting Krishna, that's all. Remember Krishna. Immediately your depression is gone. Next question. Yeah.
You mentioned one example about Shivananda, and how he was preaching in Germany. Mm-hmm. So how we can intensify our meditation on spiritual master's instructions?
Well, we can send you out to some remote country. How about yourself? Maybe you have some remote city in Lithuania. You can send him to. And send you out to some city where there's no devotees. Now you go there and liberate the town. You talk to Sankirtan about that. He can arrange it. Okay, next question.
often mention in your lectures that we make Muslims and the Christians better Muslims and better Christians by giving Krishna consciousness. But the question is, how do we make them better Krishna conscious, where they don't even accept Krishna as a God? Like Muslims, they don't accept Krishna as a God. So how do we give Krishna and make them better Muslim or Christian?
Dayananda Thai Prabhu comes from Malaysia, which is a Muslim country. They do give some facility for the Hindus there, but they let them have temples, but they have to keep them smaller than the mosques. You can't build a temple there bigger than the mosques. They have to be little places. So they keep the Hindus down, although they allow them to practice. It's better than other places the ISIS places, but so he's wondering. His question is very, very relevant for him. Where he's living, he spends his whole life there in that place, where they're all Muslims. Everywhere you see the little kids in the Muslim costumes or whatever you call them, going to the Muslim schools, and it's a whole. I go there once a year, and just everywhere mosques and Muslims everywhere. It's a real scene, and they're in the middle of this, trying to be Krishna conscious. So. I would point you to Lord Chaitanya's conversation with Shankazi in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Lord Chaitanya's movement thrived under Muslim rule. And some of the Muslims also became devotees. In fact, Arnamacharya was a Muslim. Haridas Thakur was a Muslim. So I got him into trouble also. His Muslim brothers didn't think he was very cool when he became a Hare Krishna. The same problem in Malaysia. I have one disciple, his name is Vaikuntha. I think it's Vaikuntha, yeah. He's a Hindu. There in Malaysia they have different IDs. You can have, tell me if I'm wrong, you have an ID as a Muslim, now you're the best first-class citizen. You have a Muslim ID card. You have a Hindu, well, not so good. Are you a Hindu converted to Islam? You're not quite as good as a pure Muslim, but you're better than those Hindus, right? Huh? Yeah, Vaishnavadas, yeah. So there's three IDs, or there's four more than that? Three types of ID.
There's two types, actually. One for Muslim and for the converts. No.
One for Muslims, one for Hindus, and there's also a different one for Hindus who became Muslims also.
Yes.
So that's Vaishnavadas. So he has a Muslim wife, to the world he's a Muslim. If they find out he became my initiated disciple, his Muslim friends will do him a little favor and they'll murder him, right? They'll murder him.
But they will never allow him.
They allow him.
No,
the fact that he did that, they could murder him. Even though it's against the law, they would
take away all his property.
His
life very miserable.
They might even murder him too. They could murder him, and the courts would ignore it.
Yeah.
Even though it's against the law, they might murder him. Even they found out he was a Hare Krishna. So the only reason he got away with it is he lives on the other side of the country. And so he came to a city where no one knew that he was a Muslim. And they got initiated on the other side of the country. So that's the kind of atmosphere he's talking about. What to do in that situation. Well, there's various things you can fall back on. If I were you in position, I would meditate very strongly on Bhagavad Gita 3:21. Yad yada tarite shreshtas tattare vechayo jayala antayo janat sayad pramanam karute lokas tadanavartite. Whatever a great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. You should become such a great saintly personality, such a powerful acharya by all of your words, thoughts, and deeds, that you'll gain the respect of everyone, Hindus and Muslims both, for your spiritual consciousness. That's what I would do. Try to preach and act in such a way that you gain the respect of everyone. Hindus, Muslims, Chinese, everyone will see you as a great spiritual personality who can guide them how to become happy in spiritual life. So even Muslims will come to you how to become a better Muslim. They want to know from you. So you don't present yourself. So you can't be. You're not going to present yourself as a Hindu. You talk about how important it is we're devoted to God, and that's the only way you can be happy. You can preach in general terms. There are some lectures that Prabhupada gave. He never even said the word Krishna once. He just talked about God. You see, it depends on the situation. If I were in that situation, I'd be very appreciative of my Muslim brothers. We're all brothers, actually. We're all the Krishna's our father. I appreciate your Muslim brothers, whatever God consciousness they have, encourage them in that. That's what I would do. Prabhupada very much appreciated the five times going to prayer when he was in Tehran. He appreciated the Muslims very much. You could tell them, I wish our Hindus were as devoted to worshiping God as you Muslims are. You could tell them that. Some are bowed down five times a day. How many Hindus bow down five times a day to God?
Yeah. Gurudev, the Muslims, they do a lot of animal slaughter, especially cows.
That's there. That's the other side of it. I know. I'm well aware of that. I'm from a Christian country, and they, you know, McDonald's hamburgers. They go to church, and after church, they go to McDonald's. You know, it's the same. The Christians and the Muslims are in the same category. They're both off the track in that way, but. But Prabhupada, but at the same time, we encourage the good thing that they have. And so I'm well aware of the fact they're engaged in horrible cow slaughter. So there's some ideas. You have to become an ideal acharya. They'll all come to you for spiritual guidance. That's what I recommend.
But in my office, when we talk about donations for food for life, we give, but we don't mention Hare Krishna or Shastri. So, but we have to, as you mentioned.
Are they giving, Muslims are contributing?
Yes.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Free food, they will give donations.
Oh, very good.
But when we include the name Krishna, they said no. This is a spiritual thing.
I don't know, it's called undercover preaching, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, that's the only thing we can do.
Prabhupada, it's undercover preaching you can do, definitely. Lord Chaitanya was an undercover, did one undercover. He was God himself. And he disguised himself as a devotee. So you can disguise yourself as an ordinary humanitarianist and unknowingly engage them in Krishna service.
But they like to appreciate prasadam so much.
Huh?
The Muslim appreciate prasadam so much.
They like prasadam a lot? Yeah. And yeah, keep feeding those Muslims prasadam, yeah. They all become devotees. Actually, in India, they're all Hindus here, but they... In India, they are all the people, all the Muslims, they're from their ancestors were all Hindus. But when Aurangzeb, the Muslim rulers like Aurangzeb, took the leadership, they made a tax. All the Hindus have to pay a tax, and Muslims don't. So the poor Hindus, they couldn't afford the tax, they had to convert to become Muslims. So This by force people became Muslims here, but actually all these Muslims here in India, they're all Hindus in their forefathers are all Hindus. They're all Hindus here. It's just by some political force they became Muslim. So we have to introduce the science of God beyond all these different sectarian designations. Yeah. Okay, we are visiting the spiritual places. We feel very tired. Okay, this is the last one. We are visiting the spiritual places. We feel very tired, and we can't get the spiritual feeling. I'm so tired. I just want to go to. I'm here at this holy place. I just want to sleep. You know. So, how do you overcome the feeling of thinking about your body, basically, when you go to the holy place? Well, whenever you have time, whenever you're not on parikrama and your rounds are done, take a little extra rest if you need it. You know, instead of spacing out somewhere, if you need a little extra rest, so you're more alert. Just like this afternoon, we're going on parikrama to Brahmandagat. So if you can sneak in, you're really kind of tired, you can sneak in a little rest somewhere. It's not, Prabhupada said, if you're sleepy, take a nap. Not too much, but just enough to refresh yourself. So if you're having a problem with being too groggy and sleepy, take a little nap. A short nap, a snap, Prabhupada called it. There's nothing wrong if you need a little extra rest, but not too much. How to feel Krishna and what to do to want to go there. Well, we don't always feel like chanting either. We do so in the order of the spiritual master. So believe me, going to these holy places will make an eternal impression on your consciousness. It will help you at the time of death. So even if you're not feeling like it, go ahead and go on Parikrama anyway, because the benefit will be there greatly for you. All these impressions are being put into your heart, into your consciousness, which will strengthen you for the rest of your life in Krishna consciousness. So we'll go ahead and stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanande.
Srila Gurudev ki jai.